What's going on, folks? Before I get into my normal introduction with Andy and everything, I do have to say Justin Thomas for a couple minutes is actually on the end of this show. Andy got a chance to talk to him the other day about the Netflix doc coming out on the PGA Tour, all the behind-the-scenes stuff and looks. JT and Jordan are either the first episode, second episode, I don't know. But Andy sat down with him, I think, for like 5 minutes the other day. So he's actually on the end of the show. I just wanted to jump in and say that before past me jumps into my normal introduction. So everybody, enjoy the show and listen to JT at the end of this episode. See you guys. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Twilight Nine podcast. This is episode 128. I'm your host, Riley, joined by Mr. Andy Nesbitt. What's up?
What up? What up? What up? The golf is getting good now, right? We're coming back to the mainland after 2 weeks in Hawaii. We're starting this unbelievable stretch. Our friend of the program, Medina Mike's on a jet right now going out to Palm Springs to play in this tournament this weekend. We got a lot of stuff going on today, Riley. Right. I want to talk to you too later on about my conversations I had with JT Finau and Joel Damon last week about the Netflix show.
I was going to ask you about that actually. Is he taking a private jet? Is it his jet?
No, he's taking a United jet from Chicago. Having a direct flight from Chicago to Palm Springs.
Right.
If you fly to LA, that drive from LA to Palm Springs is a brutal.
Oh, no, I've never done it. I know that it's very rare just to find a flight that doesn't have to connect these days. I've connected
into Palm Springs too. I mean, it's a tiny ass airport. So,
right. Yeah.
Shout out.
Shout out Medina Mike and United.
I'm very excited for him.
Yeah, we got a fun week this week. We've got the Amex, the American Express in the desert of California. Mm-hmm. For some reason, it's kind of confusing to me why the field is so good. It usually struggles to get a decent field. I mean, there's some usually guys like Patrick Cantlay usually goes. John Rahm's won this event before, but mm-hmm. with all the elevated events and these designated places where everyone's going to be, there's 10 of the top 19 players in the world here. Five of the top 10, excuse me.
You would think that, and also with it being a pro-am, like they would not want to like do it.
Right. I mean, you saw John Rahm last year. Remember that viral video? It's a fucking putting contest. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Right. And that's, I mean, it is. All the pins are like in the middle of the greens for these people mm-hmm. because it's like, I don't want to shout out Medina Mike, but like, what? Yeah. Like they put it in. So make it easier on those guys.
If they didn't, those rounds would be 9 hours long. They're already long enough as it is.
Like, for example, Willie Z shot a 61 here last year. Like that's just it's just what happens. So it's going to be a fun week though because the field is loaded. Willie Z here, John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Cantlay, and Xander are the top 10 guys. And mm-hmm. then who else? Sungjae. There's Tony's here. There's a bunch. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be fun. We'll get into a preview obviously later. Siwoo Kim. The only thing I think of when I see Siwoo Kim or see a picture of him or hear his name is Jordan at the President's Cup like 5 years ago.
Yeah, what did Jordan sing in that?
Siwoo, shaking that ass, shaking that ass. Right. Yeah, it's all I think about when I hear about Siwoo Kim.
That's right.
But he won. He won the Sony.
Boy, did he. In dramatic fashion, too.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That chip in on 17. I love Siwoo Kim. The emotion that he showed after that chip in on 17. Like, we talked about this in the past. There's a lot of pro golfers out there who like to be ho-hum about, you know, big moments. And, like, that's the reason why we all love Tiger, because he, you know, on a Thursday grinding for a par, he'd be pumping his fist. And Siwoo chipped in on 17. Great chipping up from just off the green for birdie on that par three. That basically won him the tournament. And, like, he was fist pumping, screaming. Like, we need more of that in the game.
Yeah, need more of it. Unbelievable week for Siwoo. Adds to his resume. What, he's got 5 wins now? Players champ. I know he wanted to win them.
I think I read that he has 4 now.
He's got 4 now. Wins. Putting it together a little bit. But yeah, it was a good week. None of my picks turned out, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. So I forgot that my one of my season-long things did start last week, so I got my pick in right before it happened. Corey Connors was my pick, but Tom Kim was the obvious number one choice by everybody last week, and a lot of people got knocked out of the we do a knockout pool for like made cuts as part of our league. There's a payout there. A lot of people after week one are out.
Yikes. Yeah, that's not good. I'm surprised that many people use Tom, because that's like a big name. I figured you would want him at like a bigger tournament, but I guess not. But yeah, that was America's pick. Tom Kim was America's pick. I mean, he was on my card, but I had Corey Connors, who I think, what, he tied for 12th, I think. So not a bad start for the year for you. Yeah. I had Taylor Montgomery, who was in the final group on Saturday. And then you just never know how that first final group is going to go. And he kind of peed down his leg a little bit. I think he was like +3 through +7 or something. Ended up shooting even, so we'll take that. But yeah, he didn't do enough. He finished T12 also. Cam Davis was, I mentioned him last week.
Mm-hmm.
He finished somewhere around like T30. I was following him a little bit. He wasn't making the TV, but I was doing the Tourcast thing and I was following him. And I mean, he must have the worst short game and the worst putter in the entire world. it was so aggravating. He was number one in ball striking, tee to green approach.
Oh, yeah. I saw you tweeting about that. Like, he'd be a good pickup to bet on.
Oh, my God. And then he was like 130th in strokes game putting. Like, it was just, he couldn't make a thing. It kind of like Tom Kim, honestly. Tom Kim couldn't make anything. It was the same thing with Davis, which was very frustrating. And then I actually live bet Mav on Saturday afternoon because he was like 4 back and he was making a bunch of birdies. I'm like, sure. And then he did nothing on Sunday. I think he top close to the top 10, I think, but not enough to win. So, yeah, hopefully we can get an outright this weekend in the desert. Hopefully.
Yeah. So it was interesting. Like, everyone was in on Tom Kim. That's like when like alarm bells go off, where you're like, there's no way he's going to do something.
Like, Golf Digest was tweeting out all their betting articles. It was all Tom Kim. PGA Tour, like, their expert picks, Tom Kim. All the random bettors on Twitter are like, Tom Kim is going to win by. And I tweeted it when I tweeted out. I forget. It was either my picks article. Like, the headline of my tweet was, Tom Kim will either win by 10 or miss the cut. There's no in between, just because of that. And there you go.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah. I half nailed it, but what are you going to do? You got anything else from the Sony? We got a couple.
Yeah. About our boy Jordan Spieth? The Jordan Spieth experience was in full effect for 2 days in Honolulu.
First guy since Matt Every at the 2020 Arnold Palmer Invitational took lead or co-lead after the first round and then missed the cut.
That's the Jordan Spieth experience.
It really is.
And it's unbelievable.
He had some great moments with Growler on Friday. They're doing a much better job on TV. I do have to give them credit. They're starting to not talk during those interactions, which is right. Huge because they usually just ruin those. But I think it has something to do with it's Jordan, so they think it's going to be awesome, which it usually is. But they're doing a good job laying out of those.
I was watching Friday night and Spieth was on one of the tee boxes and they, you know, they show the overhead and they're like, this is a tough tee shot because the left was OB with the driving range and right's OB with the, or with a hazard with water. And like, it's kind of a tight like thing. I'm like, oh man, this is one I would totally just bail out right. And Spieth totally bails out right. Like, as soon as he hits it, he's walking left on the tee box, trying to like see where it's gonna go. And he's like, oh no, oh no.
Oh, is that his water tee shot? I remember.
Yeah. And yeah, so then he dropped it like right next to like the water. And he was like, he had a foot on like the cart path. It was a Friday night. I'm like, oh man, thank you, Jordan Spieth, for this entertainment. And then like that was the beginning of his back nine where everything kind of went to hell and all of a sudden he was out.
Yeah, that shot ended up underneath a tree. That ended up on the back of the green. I think he three putted from there or something. He just made a mess of the back nine.
There's no more intimidating out of bounds on a tee than when you see a driving range left and you're like, I can't go in that driving range. There's something about a driving range that just frightens me.
Yeah, the net. Something about the net just lurking over there. It's like,
we used to
even
play
if you hit it over there, you can't hit it.
No, the worst is when you play a course that's got a driving range like that and you hit it down the side and then you try to go find your ball and it's like, nope, range ball, nope. It's like you have no shot of finding your golf ball.
Our campus golf course down at USF, the Claw, shout out the Claw, literally the worst conditioned golf course I've ever played, but we played, it was like $9 to play it. They had off the very first tee, the whole left side of the fairway was driving range. It happened all the time.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Side note, when one of my buddies always plays very weird golf balls, he just doesn't care. And 2 weeks ago, I was playing him in a match, and he was playing with he was trying to find his ball on the rough, one of the holes. And I go, "Are you playing a Callaway practice ball?" And he goes, "Yeah." I go, "Oh, okay, it's right here." He was playing a range ball because he said he liked how soft it was.
Oh, yikes!
He played well. He shot like an 81 or something. And like for like 4 holes, he had a range ball.
Is it true that those go 10, 15 yards shorter than normal balls?
I would think so.
Is that true facts?
Yeah. But like he played it because he thinks he can hit it lighter. So I don't know.
And then he putts with a different ball on the green. He brings out a Pro V1 on the green.
What do you mean? This guy's a menace.
And then he's terrible putting in his scores. He's like a 8 handicap, but he's a 12 because he's terrible putting in his scores. Andrew Lux, if you're listening, I know you listen to this. We're talking about you.
Anything else from the Sony? Yeah, Jordan, that was tough. Had 11 footer. As soon as he hit it, he walked away like he knew it didn't go in. It was tough.
Yeah, and I'm not too much else from the Sony. It was one of those events where you're like, all right, like golf is back, but like all these designated things, like on Saturday, the leaderboard, I was like, ooh, that's kind of a tough one. That's kind of a tough scene there.
I was covering the tournament. I was in charge of doing all the recaps and stuff. And I don't remember if it was Saturday night or Friday night. I think it might have been Saturday night. I was trying to find a polite and nice way to say that no one knows the names at the top of the leaderboard.
Right.
Yeah, I had to work around it somehow. It was just a bunch of unknown dudes.
How do you get a clicker out of that? Like, what's the storyline you would put on something like that?
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was.
I was rooting for Chris Kirk. I mean, give it up to Dan Hicks on Friday. I was watching, and Kirk was making a little bit of a run there towards the top, and they actually like went into his background story where like they don't usually do that. They don't give you like a reason to cheer for a lot of these guys because they're just moving too fast, and they did a good job of doing that. And I think he finished top three. It was like his third top three finish there, which is a wild story because they talked about how a couple years ago he was going to lose his card. He had to get a top two at the Sony. Or he's going to lose his card. And he got a top two, which is like,
yeah, and he did it. Yeah.
Low key, one of the gutsiest performances in like professional golf history.
Yeah, nuts. Yeah, easy guy to root for after watching that interview. It was really good for them to talk about that after the round. But aside from that, I don't think I have anything else from the Sony.
Let's move it on forward.
Nelly Korda, she has signed with Nike, and she has signed with TaylorMade, and I think TaylorMade has aspirations of just getting everyone. I think that's what they're. Mm-hmm. I think they're also getting Brooke Henderson. It's rumored that she's also going to TaylorMade, which is, I mean, Nelly deserves whatever she wants, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Callaway. I mean, I know Callaway went all out with Good. They got the Good guys.
They got Good. TaylorMade got Nelly Korda.
Yeah, we got some real battles going on right now. Yeah, two hiring people.
Two different strategies from two different equipment companies.
Yeah, TaylorMade. Yeah, TaylorMade does the foreplay, I guess.
Yeah, they get the Barstool boys. Yeah.
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 But yeah, Nike, TaylorMade. That's a pretty good outfit. Although I think I prefer Titleist. I would do Nike Titleist if I was ever in that situation.
If you could pick your perfect combination.
Yeah, something about Titleist clubs are just nice. I have Titleist irons. I'm actually trying to maybe get some new irons soon.
Yeah, I was talking about that the other day. I'm officially in the hunt for mid-am qualifying. Okay. I'm officially going to do it. The problem is I don't know if I should just try to do it with my clubs or get fitted in the next couple of weeks, make sure they're here by the start of golf season, and then go. I haven't decided yet.
Okay. Well, you got some big things to you. I can say that too. Like, I'm gonna go for the mid am, but you got to go all in on this situation.
Yeah, I got to play some seriously good golf. I mean, I got to get down to like a four handicap, three and a half handicap. I forget what the qualification is. I mean, I got to start playing like seriously high level golf.
Yeah,
yeah.
No more driving range for once a week. No more nine holes here or there. You got to get there out there and play. We need you in this thing.
Yep. Luckily, I got on my putting mat yesterday because I was at the simulator, and obviously my putting is atrocious on the simulator. I don't even know what I'm doing.
I don't know how they do that on the simulators.
I don't know either. And then I putted for, I don't know, an hour on my putting mat, and I think I've figured out putting.
Ooh, that's always a good thing.
I'm locked in. Mm. So that's good. But I just went off on a tangent about the mid-am. What was I talking about?
We were talking about TaylorMade or
Nelly Korda. Yeah. Both my favorite golfers are Nike TaylorMade. So shout out Rose and Nelly.
And Tiger.
Speaking of LPGA and Nelly, it's back this week. Tournament of Champions. It's going to be fun. The Hilton Grand Tournament of Champions. If you guys haven't listened to my interview with John Smoltz, we talked about that a little bit from a couple weeks ago. That is this week. I'm very excited to watch the LPGA. I think Nelly's a betting favorite at like plus 450 or something outrageous. But this tournament's always really fun because it's obviously all the winners from last year and then a bunch of celebrities, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't watch it, it's on Golf Channel at some point, but it's
I could watch her swing all the time.
Yeah.
So the more they play and the more they show it. And then the more times on social, they're like, here's another quarter swing. It's like, thank you for this content.
They're capitalizing on everybody loves Nelly right now. And they post it everywhere all the time, which I'm here for. Cause I repost pretty much all of them. So I'm going,
I literally do watch them like 10 times, kind of like just figure out like what the tempo, like what, how does it make it? How does she make it look so easy?
Yeah. 100%. Did you play golf this weekend?
We didn't on Saturday because it was like 25 degrees here. So we decided to cancel our tee times. So yeah. Yeah, but we got out yesterday on a different course than we normally play because ours was closed, and shot a 44, 38 on the back, and had like three lip outs. You know, when you close with like a 38 or something on the back nine, all you want to do is like get out and play again right away. Mm-hmm. So we're itching to get out there. I was crushing the driver. I moved my driver from a 9 degree down to an 8 degree just to mess around and see what it would do because I hit a high ball, and I was hitting like the longest drives I've hit in a long time.
Damn.
Well, you know, when you're driving the golf ball, like towards the middle of the round, I'm like, I can swing this club as hard as I want. I was just out of my shoes.
I think that might be my favorite feeling in golf is when you know exactly where your driver is going to go and you can just fucking wail on it.
Like, yeah, like one par four, I was looking all up and down, like it was like on the left side of the fairway or the rough, but there's a lot of like leaves and everything because it was winter and I couldn't find my ball. And I don't want to be that guy that always drives up like 40 yards ahead and like, where's my ball? And it's 50 yards back the other way. So I was like, looking for it. And my buddy's like, it's up here. I'm like, it's up there. It's 54 yards out. I'm like, oh, that's not my number. And I chunked a short shot and then actually got him down for par, but I was like 54 yards out and like I gotta go back and look at how long that hole was, but just bombing it
has to be the hardest shot in golf.
54, somewhere around there.
It's like 60 to 40 is just,
especially on like winter grass too, where it's like it's still like it's not things aren't pristine right now, you know, they're browned out, they're wet, damp. It's like, it was one of those shots where like the ball goes 20 yards and you just have all this mud on your club.
Yeah.
You're like, God damn it.
Yeah. I can picture it in my head.
Yeah. But yeah, it was fun. It was good to be out there. Jack's Beach Golf Club. It's a great muni down here in Jack's Beach.
Where you played?
Yeah. They redid all the greens years, like 3 or 4 years ago, and there's just beautiful greens, and it was fun being out there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm itching a little bit. I don't know. I kind of want to go down to Florida for the Arnold Palmer. I think me and you might have some stuff coming up for that tournament.
Oh, yeah?
I think so. All right. Might be fun. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to be able to play in the Pro-Am again like you did last year, but maybe.
Man. Who knows? I was thinking about that because my buddy Mike's playing this week. I'm so lucky that I don't think I'll ever get to play in another Pro-Am the rest of my life. But like that experience was one of the most ridiculously cool golf experiences ever.
And what made it more ridiculous is that it came together like 8 days before that you played. Yeah.
Those little moments where you're like walking like down, like one time I was like waiting for a cop to like stop traffic for me so I could cross the street, and people were like, I'm inside the ropes. People are like looking at me like, who the hell is this guy? That was great.
Did I tell you, Dusek is sending me a stealth?
Really?
Or did I tell you I broke my driver? On the simulator, I hit the driver head on like the garage door railing, the corner.
Oh,
of it,
man.
And I just dented the shit out of it. The whole crown is just collapsed on itself. And I messaged Didi and he sent me a stealth from last year.
Damn. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go break my driver right now.
It's going to be sick. I went to Dick's yesterday just to hold it so I know what it's going to look like.
You love Dick's, don't you?
Love it.
Yeah,
love it.
I feel like the stealth too, like not a lot of amateurs use it. Although this old guy I played with yesterday had one.
It's going to be a head turner when I take it out of the bag. I think it's rare for an amateur golfer to have it because I mean they're expensive as shit, but also
this is the old guy we were playing with yesterday. He was probably the worst putter of the history of putting, and he's probably like 65, you know, and he was like, yeah, I just got fitted for a driver recently and like as a stealth. And I'm like, okay. And I look at the shaft. It was like one of those like Addy Pros shafts. You know, it's probably like a $400 shaft. He's like, yeah, the guy said like I needed a stiff one. So like I got this one. I'm like, that's a really nice shit. And I'm like, that sales guy at the PGA store just got a big fish there. That driver probably cost this guy a grand easy.
Oh, if not more than that. Because
And the guy just dinks it around the course. Like that goddamn guy, the PGA. Yeah, you need a stealth and you need a shaft that like Rory McIlroy uses.
yeah. That's $1,000+ driver. That's outrageous.
This guy, every four footer, he wouldn't even come close to making it. It was unbelievable. He had one of these ping putters that had all this like circle stuff in the back. It was like a science project. He looked down. I'm like, how does that guy stay? How does he stay focused with that putter?
I think I know what putter you're talking about. Is it the one that kind of looks like a guy's riding a motorcycle? You ever know?
Yes.
It's the, what the hell is that putter called? It's not the eight ball. It's from a while ago. They always used to say it looked like a guy riding a motorcycle. I forget it. But yes, I know exactly what.
And then we played with this other stranger we got paired up with. And I forgot playing with strangers because I was just playing with friends. I forgot how it's luck of the draw. Like this guy we got paired with was probably 25 handicap. But every pre-shot routine was stand behind the ball. Three practice swings while looking at his target. Get around, walk around to the ball. Look at his feet. Pick a spot on the ground to aim at in front of him. Look up at the target. And then he would duff it 30 yards, drive up in his car to it, get behind the ball, three, just stop like around the third hole. Like, I turn to my buddy, I'm like, I'm going to kill this guy.
Yeah, that's a night. That's a nightmare. I don't know. I don't mind if people do that and then they're really good. You can't do that.
I don't.
If you're 25 handicap.
What bothered me too about him was, and he was a super nice guy. I don't mean to shit on this guy, he's a stranger out there, but it's just like amateur golf in general. Like, just the awareness when you're on a golf course. Like, there'd be times where it was his turn to hit. Like, a guy would go first, and then it was his turn from the fairway, and I'd turn around, like, ready for him to be like over the ball, and he would just be picking out his rangefinder to like look at the yardage. Like,
right,
dude, you've been there for 5 minutes. I'm like, I'm over here already with my rangefinder done, got my club in my hand, just waiting for you to hit. And he's like, all right, what is it? 173. Okay, let me go to the bag. What should I hit? Like, dude, come on.
Oh god, that's a nightmare. That's a getting paired with people is sometimes,
yeah, it's really hit or miss. Tough. I mean, usually, I mean, he was a great guy. Usually, like, person wise, like, I never get really paired up with assholes, right? But it's just like you find out a lot about people on a golf course.
100%. Me and my dad went golfing one time, and my mom and Megan came with us, and they weren't going to play. They were just going to walk with us. And we got paired with this guy that refused to play with us because the girls are there.
Jesus.
And we almost got in a fight with this guy because the clubhouse just kept saying, no, it's fine. They're not playing. They're just going for a walk. And the guy refused, and it was not great on the first tee. It was bad.
What a loser.
Yeah. He stormed off the golf course.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy. I don't think you want to talk some Amex, talk some picks. I got some names this week.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Like I said, 10 of the top 19 in the official World Golf Ranking are here. It's three golf courses. So the cut doesn't happen until Saturday. So don't be confused when that's a thing. It's PGA West Stadium, PGA West Nicholas Tournament Course, and then La Quinta Country Club, which is usually the place where everybody shoots like 60, 59. That's the low one. Data Golf, I don't really know the course. I mean, number two is Kays Valley. I think isn't that where they played the BMW a couple years ago?
Kays, yes. Valley.
And then TPC Louisiana, shout out to Zurich.
Zurich.
Zurich. Trending John Rahm, last three finishes, first, T8 first. That's pretty good. Tony Finau's number two is a win, 7, T7. Scotty Scheffler's 3, T9, 2, T7. Percent chance to win, John Rahm is number one at 10.8. Scotty Scheffler, 9.7. And then number three is Patrick Cantlay at 6.5. Betting, I already kind of covered this. I didn't hit the outright at the Sony. Got a couple top 20s, but that's kind of it. My picks at @RileyHamill_ on Twitter drop every Wednesday afternoon if you guys want to follow. Betting odds, John Rahm +550, Patrick Cantlay +950, Scotty Scheffler's at 1,000, Tony is at 1,500, Willie Z is at 19, Xander Schauffele and Tom Kim are 20-1, Sungjae and Cameron Young are at 21-1, Sam Burns is 31-1, so is Tom Hoagie, Siwoo Kim +3,400, Brian Harman +3,400, Cam Davis, same thing, Aaron Wise, 4,200, Taylor Montgomery, 4,200. Who we like?
Taylor Montgomery.
You're hopping on my boy.
I was close to picking him last week. And, this is week two. I think week one of my other pools is week two. So looking to try to find a guy that I don't want to burn a big name, obviously. Right. Yeah. But I almost came close to picking Taylor last week, and he had a good way. He had top 12, T12 at Wiley.
Same thing. As
I'm reading here that he is 8 for 8 with 7 top 5, the top 15 finishes. Jesus.
Yeah. The dude's playing. He's playing insane golf. And it's not even just, he was doing it at the end of last year too. He finishes top 20 for him is borderline. Like, you can even tell when you go on DraftKings or FanDuel or whatever, He's like down the odds list to win outright. He's probably, what did I just say? Plus 4,000, 40 to 1 or something. But for a top 20 finish, he's like close to even money because he does it every week. It's very, you don't usually see that, but Vegas has figured it out. Like, this guy just finishes inside the top 20 every week.
Yeah. So I think he's a perfect kind of fit right here for like a season long pool where you don't want to burn somebody, right?
100%.
Seems like this is, especially if we talked about the setup of the course, like it's going to be a, you know, a shooting gallery out there. So he's coming in red hot. I love Taylor Montgomery for my overall, for my league, but also any kind of top 20s I got in there.
This is a very interesting field because it's very, you want to say it's top heavy just because of Rahm, Scotty, Cantlay, Shoffley, but there's also a bunch of guys here in that second tier also. Right. Like, this is just a very strong field. It's not just all top guys. It's also loaded with those guys right in the middle, like Cam Davis, Aaron Wise, Montgomery, JT Poston, Thagala. They're all here.
Thagala, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
Cam Young.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about Cam Young, but he's probably going to go on the card just because he's my new Will Zalatoris. I need to put him on there. I'm not missing the first one, so it's going to be one of those. Those
it's got to be. It's got to be coming close.
Yeah, it has to be. But the first guy I am putting on is Willie Z.
He
played well at the Tournament of Champions. I think he tied for 11th first start since coming back from his back injury. He tied for 6th at the American Express last year. He shot 61 on Friday, went really low. I expect him to play really well. Everything looked pretty solid. He actually gained strokes with the putter at the tournament, the TOC, which was a little bit surprising. But to get him at, I think at some places was 20 to 1 plus 2,000 is crazy. So I love Willie Z. He's even money for a top 20, which I like even more. But he'll be on the card for probably both of those.
I like that. What do you think about Megacorp?
Harms?
Yeah.
I didn't look at him a bunch. I know that his course history is insane here.
Yeah, he's got a pair of T3s here in 2017, 2022.
Yeah.
All 24 rounds this season are under par or par or better. That's got to be
just
pretty nice.
Yeah,
that's
he's just playing high-level golf.
Damn.
You know what's up? Did he play the Sony? He was there last week, right? I can't remember if I was watching him at the TOC or the Sony. The size of his putter is the size of his head.
Oh, it's huge.
His putter is outrageous. It's not even a spider. It's like five times the size of it. He's like swinging a dinner plate. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. It's huge.
And he's had it for years, so he must love it. Like, we see a lot of these guys, their putters are in and out of their bag.
Yeah, he's had that one for a lot. Yeah, you're right. He has had that for a long time.
For years.
But yeah, I like Harmon. I saw that his course history is really good, and he's playing good golf, so it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's just like, is he going to be the guy that goes out and beats like Scottie Scheffler?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think Montgomery could do it because he hits the shit out of the golf ball off the tee and he rolls it really well. But can like Brian Harmon go out there and beat like this good of a field? I don't know. Top 20, I like, I don't know what his odds are, but top 20, I like for Harmon.
I feel like now Harmon is going to win this thing.
100%.
You just said
100%. Big Tone is
Big
up there.
Tone.
Too. Big Tone. He's coming off a T7 at the Century TOC. He's liked him some PGA West in recent seasons. Solo fourth in 2021, T14 in 2020. I think he made the cut here last year. I think he was around like T40 or something like that. So not a great week, but he has played well here over the last couple of years. He's 15 to 1, top 10, plus 150. I think if it's a birdie fest, that's what Finau does. So I like Tony.
Who else do I like here? Looking for like lower names.
I also have a couple long shots that we'll get to in a second. Andrew, they're not, as a hint, they're big names, but long shots.
Okay. Putnam's 5 for 5 here with 4 top 25s.
Yeah, he loves this place. I bet on him last year. Mm-hmm. Here. He loves this place.
All right, give me your other ones.
He's on my list that's on golfweek.com right now. I'm not 100% sure if he's going to go on my official card. But it's Cam Davis. You cannot play pretty much. You can't play better than he did tee to green at the Sony. He just could not do anything with his short game or his putter. T32. Last of three appearances at the Amex. He had T29 in 2020, T28 in 2019, and he was third in 2021. He didn't play here last year. He's 34 to 1. He's plus 225 for a top 20. If he can just hole anything at this place, I think he'll finish inside the top 20. I don't know if he'll win, but if he can get anything going with the putter, I think he's going to be right there.
My friends Mason and Clay Oltman from this greater Seattle area got to play around with Cam Davis a couple months ago at their club in Seattle.
How'd it go?
Random, right? and Cam Davis, they said, like, they have pictures all from the day, like, the watching Cam hit a ball from, like, their on their course, they said it was just the most ridiculous thing ever.
And so then first,
and first chance, I'd say it's a classic Seattle Washington course where it's just a lot of pine tree lined fairways. And they said he was just hitting tee shots. Like, you can just watch that ball just sail down those fairways.
Yeah, that's my favorite kind of golf, tree line.
So Clay picked him last week, the first week, and I think he finished like 40th or something. Couldn't wait to pick Cam Davis in the thing.
Yeah, he just could not putt. It was so aggravating. I forget what round I was tweeting about. Was it his Friday round that I kept giving out stats? But I think he missed 6 or 7 putts inside 10 feet, and a couple of them were like 3 feet. It was brutal. Yeah, it was not good at all. I'm trying to find my article on, I guess they haven't pushed it live yet. I do have a couple long shots.
Let's hear them.
First one, 70-1. And don't get at, I don't have all of his stats memorized. Jay Day.
Oh man. You love Jay Day.
Love Jay Day. 6 starts this year. He's missed 2 cuts, but in the 4 weekends that he did make, I think he's finished T21 or better. Couple top 10s, swing changes look really good. He's 9th in strokes. Oh, I do have it memorized. 9th in strokes game approach, which is crazy good for him. And it's kind of weird to say, but he ranks outside the top 100 in strokes game putting. So if his putter wakes up at all, he is going to win this year. And he likes his place. I don't remember recent finishes off the top of my head, but I do know, I think he has like a T21 3 or 4 years ago and then a T10 a year before that. So
I love it. I love your love for Jay Day.
I love Jay.
Popped up a bunch of times last year.
I don't know what it is about Jason Day. I will
there's something you remember from his dominant time. Maybe it was like a pivotal time in your youth of watching golf, and you're like, I know he can find that again.
I don't know what it is. I just love him. I love him.
So many times in this podcast, every you go, you know who I like? It's gonna sound crazy, but I like Jay Day. I'm like, doesn't sound crazy at all.
Yeah, Jay Day. I love Jay Day. So he's 70-1. Which $10 plays $700 if he wins. So
that's nice.
Nice. 80-1. And I've bet on this guy a lot on this program. Denny McCarthy. If John Rahm has stated that this is a fucking putting contest, why not just take probably the best putter on the PGA Tour? Playing pretty good golf right now. His iron play is not great. He also has a really high. He's a weird course history here because I think of his last 5 starts here, he's missed 3 cuts, but I think last year he came in the top 5. So it's very hit or miss. But if it's going to be a putting contest, might as well take one of the best putters. So Denny McCarthy, 80-1. And then you're going to love this one, 90-1. Big Dick Rick. I think Ricky Fowler might be back.
Ricky? Oh, you are in love with this golf swing right now. I saw you tweeting about it.
And did you see something
about it too?
Yeah. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It looks
I watched him play, you know, I'm a YouTube enthusiast. I watched him play Rick Shields in a match a month ago, medalist. And he, like, his swing is so different and so good.
His swing looks so, I watched that video too. His swing is so good right now. And he played very good golf. People forget he almost won the Zozo. He was T6 at the Fortinet behind Max.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky might be back. I don't know if the putter is going to wake up because his putting stats are horrific. But if the swing is any indication, he might be back. And he's played well here a lot.
And you got to think when you go through it,
he's terrible. He made the cut here. So
you got to think when you go through a swing change like that and you start seeing those results, you get more like he's probably most excited to play golf he has been in years, right? Like,
well, we saw it with Jay Day last year. He couldn't make a cut. And all of a sudden the swing changes kicked in. And now he finishes when he makes the weekend. He's just a top 20 machine.
Yeah, so I like that. I'm going to have my eyes on Ricky. Ricky's impossible not to cheer for. I mean, I know he gets in all the commercials and all that, but like, there's nothing like dickish about him. He seems like a very... So I did a chipping contest with him at Topgolf in Arizona before the Super Bowl 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah. He was a really nice guy. And, you know, he's like... I stood next to him. He's like 5'4", like 110 pounds. It's like,
yeah, he's a little guy. They all are, dude. JT's like that. Even Rory's like my size when I walk around. I mean, he's way jacked-er. He's just jacked-er compared to me.
Jacked-er.
I mean, he's... What is Matt Rory? 5'9"? 5'10"?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But I do love watching and rooting for Ricky. So he is absolutely going to be on the card this week because $10 wins almost a grand. So let's go, Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
Let's go.
But that's all I got. That's those are the picks. Again, my official card will come out some point on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. You got anything else from the Amex?
Nope.
You want to talk about anything else?
Justin, my talks with.
Yeah. I was going to ask you first. So, if you had to pick one storyline that you hope or know that is included that you're most excited about the Netflix doc, what is it?
The Liv stuff just started in episode 2 of really like that's when like they started diving into the US Open and Phil and DJ come in there and they talk to Paulina, DJ. I mean, obviously that's the biggest storyline, but I'm looking forward to seeing, I guess, I think guys like Spieth are going to be involved more throughout it. And I can't wait to see Rory's thing in there. Cause I talked to Damon, JT and Finau and asked them all about like, everyone was kind of surprised to see Rory in the trailer. Were they, and like, what did it mean to them to have him in that? And they all just like spoke glowingly of him and like, it's important to have him. He's the number one player. It's great to have him on board. So I'm looking forward to seeing the behind the scenes stuff of Rory in there too.
The trailer got me so hyped because I didn't think Rory was going to be in it, and they definitely did that on purpose. They waited for the last second. They did a bunch of sharp cuts, and then all of a sudden they just have him sitting down. It was electric.
So the first episode is JT. It's called Frenemies. It's JT and Spieth. They were like a deep dive into those two guys, and then they lead it up to like they follow them at the PGA. And there's one time, I think I talked about it, where JT went to CVS on that Friday night and to Tulsa by himself to get some antihistamine. And so when you do these media junkets for movies and stuff, like it's the most random thing. Like you're put in like a room, virtual room, and then all of a sudden, like JT pops up on the screen. You have 5 minutes with him, and like the whole time, a PR guy is in your chat box going 3 minutes, 2 minutes, wrap it up. Like you're in and out of there before you know it. 5 minutes with somebody is fast.
That's like two questions with somebody.
Yeah. So I always try to like start those things off kind of like a funny, like, hey, like, you know, like ice breaking kind of question. So I go, JT, I got to be fast here. What was harder to do in Tulsa, win the PGA championship or get your credit card to work on that self-checkout thing at the CVS on Friday? And he starts laughing. He's like, you know, I don't know what happened there. He's like, the PGA championship was hard. He's like, I think getting my card to work was very relatable. And like, that's like, there's so many things in the first episodes of that behind the scenes stuff where it's like that's what we really want to see, right? And it was fun to talk to him about that. And also I told him I want more Jordan Spieth in my life. Is that something I want? And he was like, I have enough Jordan Spieth in my life. He said, because there's a part where Spieth calls him and he goes, hey, I think I told you, he's like, I'm writing your my speech for your wedding. What do you think I should do? And JT goes, just whatever your instincts say, don't do those. So I asked JT, I'm like, you've been married since then, right? He's like, I have. I go, well, how was Spieth's speech? And he's like, you know, it was good. He didn't do too bad. And I think he knew a lot of family members there, so he didn't want to get too embarrassing. It was good. So it was fun to talk to them about that. And then I asked Damon at the end. I go, it was the day after the Poulter tweet, the birthday tweet.
Yeah.
And I go, Joel, they're telling me I got to go, but real quick, have you wished Ian Poulter happy birthday yet? He goes, you know, I've been trying to think of something funny to tweet about that. I haven't yet, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, drafting it.
Yeah. So it was fun, but it was wild. Like I talked to Damon about how, you know, he used to be, you know, on the Canadian tours and just in these little places trying to make it. And I'm like, now you're on a Netflix show, like at a media junket. Like, how weird is that for you? It's like, it's fucking great. And then like Finau was like, I'm like, do your kids think you're the coolest guy ever now? You're on like, you're a pro golf for whatever, but now you're on Netflix. He's like, yeah, it's like, I love it. Like I gave them full, like they could come in and film everything they wanted. He's like, it's just been an unbelievable experience. So it's gonna be really wild to see how the outside world takes this. But as golf fans, and like I said last week, there's a lot of stuff on there where they like, if you're a diehard, you're gonna be like, why are they going over to this? Why are they saying this? But they have to like build storylines for people that aren't like us.
I get to watch it today. I got the early screening thing late last week. So I got
nice.
The first couple. So I'm very excited. I'm going to watch that in a couple hours, probably. I'm
the Matty Fitz episode 2 is really good. US Open stuff is there. I'm going to get annoyed when it's like Koepka storylines. I'm like, who gives a shit about fucking Brooks Koepka? But
100%.
It's going to get real juicy. I started they have a tennis one too that just came out. And oh, I started watching.
Did they really?
Yeah, it's called Breakpoint. I just started watching that. You know, that first episode was that Nick Kyrgios guy. You know, the guy who's at Wimbledon. He's like, anything like not behind the scenes, like following something for a season, it's so easy to just be like, I'll watch this. I don't have any ties to like the World Tennis Tour, but it's great.
I know maybe four tennis players.
Yeah. Back in my youth, like tennis was like huge, like you knew everyone, and now it's like they changed so much. I mean, you know, like Rafa and Roger and Djokovic, but yeah, once that tennis. When that February 15th when that Netflix thing comes out, I'm gonna be on the couch watching it the first day.
I'm so hyped for that. I can't wait. Well, aside from that, I don't think I have any. I don't think I have any else. I think that's it.
Did we watch Tom Brady's last football game last night?
No. He's not going out like that. He'll be a Vegas Raider.
Man, does he really want to go to the AFC though and try to have to beat Mahomes, Burrow, especially Herbert
in that division?
Trevor.
He's not going to go. The Niners are in a weird spot where, like, yes, they probably want Tom, but then, like, do you put the kids back on the bench for like a year just because you have Tom for a year? Like, that's a weird spot to be in. I'm not sure what's gonna happen.
Any franchise, like, do you really want this guy for one? Like, what's that do for your long term?
Like, you need to be perfectly right now in a transitional period with your quarterback, and that's exactly what the Raiders are in because they already said they're getting rid of Carr, so they don't have a guy. Mm-hmm. Every other team like has a guy that they would just need to like put on the bench if they want Tom for 1 year. So I think it's the Raiders, the only team that makes sense. Like or the Bucs, I guess, but I don't think he's going to go back to the Bucs.
Yeah, and then people are saying the Saints, and it's like, why would you come back to the Saints team that really isn't going to, like, do anything?
No, and then, like, Miami, but at the same time, so are you just going to, like, bench Tua? Because Tua had a good year until he started getting concussed every play, so I don't know.
I would think Miami would go all in on Lamar Jackson. That's my.
That's what
they should do.
For us, that would suck.
Yeah, be over.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
How about my Jaguars, baby?
Oh, yeah. Have you picked up the Jags ever since the playoffs started? Yeah.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence going to Waffle House after the game the other night. What a legend.
Yeah, legend. I did see that.
I mean, already won him over. But the most impressive thing about Trevor was he threw four picks in the first half and was like, whatever, and just forgot about him.
I don't know if I've ever seen a player play such contrasting halves in my life. He looked like the worst quarterback in football in the first half of that game. Mm. And then he remembered he was Trevor Lawrence when they came back out of halftime.
Like, imagine if Mac threw four interceptions in a playoff game, just start a playoff game. Do you think he'd bounce back from that the way Trevor did?
Probably not.
Trevor
Lawrence is like just way more talented than Mac is, though.
Yeah, but like just mentally just be able to like, all right, shake it off.
Sling it. I guess at that point, when you're losing that bad and it's playoffs, you have nothing to lose.
Yeah,
you might as well just start. You know what I mean? So you just start slinging it. If something bad happens, who cares? You're losing 27-0.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but we're excited. They're 9-point dogs going to Kansas City this week, and I don't mind that. I think they could beat the Chiefs.
No, they're going to get murdered.
I don't know. I don't think so.
All right.
They've won six games in a row. All of them basically playoff games for them. Like they beat the Cowboys, they beat the Titans, they beat the Chargers. It's like they're riding such momentum and such. Like, we're not supposed to beat the Chiefs anyway. Let's go out and fuck these guys up.
It's true.
Doug Peterson's a perfect coach for them. This guy, what he's done this year is incredible. Just like the mindset for these guys. Like, I don't know. I've seen teams like this go on runs before, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they beat them.
Well, it's nice for those kind of teams too, because no one expects you to be there anyway. So you really can just do it, because Peterson can call whatever he wants.
Yeah. Oh, Peterson, man. He's like,
you can take every single chance in the book if you want to, because you're not supposed to be there.
And he threw that. I mean, he did the Philly special in the Super Bowl. That was like, okay, he's willing to do whatever it takes. So he'll try anything to beat you. Put your players in the position to win the game for you. And he did that. And I have that 2-point conversion, which is incredible to make it a 2-point game instead of a 3-point game. And then that fourth down play that he ran for Etienne around the side, he got down to the 15, just like Peterson,
was a great play call.
And all these wins by the Jags just makes Urban Meyer look even worse, which makes me happy. That guy's a scumbag.
That guy sucks. I hate that fucking guy.
Scummiest of all scum.
He really is. He really, really is. You see the Pats are the betting favorite to get Hopkins?
Really? There was that video a couple weeks ago, Belichick and him talking. Did you ever see that? Like during the game?
Yeah, the love fest. I love you, man. I love you too.
I love you, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to get B.O.B. I guess it's coming back. It's almost like a sure thing that he's coming back, and then betting favorites to get Hopkins. And then that is when you learn if Mac's the guy or not. Yeah. Get him an actual offensive coordinator, get him an actual number one wide receiver, and then if he still is like very mediocre, then you go get another guy.
Mm-hmm. But oh, I want to ask you a golf question. What would be your ideal tee time on a Saturday? Are you a morning guy, afternoon guy?
100%.
10:30, sleep in a little bit, get to the course.
No. 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, because I just got our tee sheets just opened up, and I got us the first one out Saturday at 7:30 a.m. I feel like that's like when you're the first one out, I feel like it's like you're flying first class, right? No one
is. Dude, it makes you, and it makes the Friday night before I have an early morning tee time is as mm-hmm. good as the round. I'm just in such I get to wake up and play golf tomorrow morning.
Playing golf.
Get a cup of coffee in the cart. It's dewy still on the ground. You get it out mm-hmm. there. Maybe you got a hoodie on. Maybe you got a crew neck on because it's a little chilly. It is the best. It is an early.
No one in front of you. A friend of mine once, we in LA, we got on the course. It was just the two of us. And we asked the starter if we could jump out before the first group as a twosome. And he said, all right, you better be fast. And my buddy played golf collegiately. He shot like a 73 that day. I shot an 81. We were done in like 2 hours and 40 minutes. The starter saw us coming off 18. He was like, you guys are done already? We're like, hell yeah, we are. It was great. No one in front. It's like your own golf course. It's the best.
We at Hunter's, the private course I worked at in Tampa, the OG Hercules was a member of our golf course. I forget his name. He's been in, I don't know if he's the OG Hercules, but he was a Hercules. What the hell is that dude's name? He's been a bunch of, like, he's been in episodes of Psych. Like, he's one of those guys. Anyway, he used to get a cart. He was always, like, penciled in the first group to go off. As soon as, like, it was barely light outside, he was in a cart already. And he would play 18 holes in just over an hour.
Damn.
It was insane.
Jesus.
Yeah.
An hour.
It was crazy. It was nuts. Yeah, it was nuts.
Yeah, I love early morning tea times. I don't understand some people like the 10:30. Like, just I want to get in there early because you know all the early players are just like serious, like just play fast, play good. Where like you get in those afternoons and you just get some hackers out there, take forever. So I'm psyched. We usually get like an 8 a.m. tea time. This week we got the first tea time out Saturday morning. That's I'm excited for that. I'm just as a golf dork. I'm like, I'm very excited for this.
Yeah, it's the best. There's not the morning in the cart with coffee and everything. It's the best. Maybe a little bacon, egg, and cheese also through the first two holes. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But yeah, I think that's all I got. So everybody, enjoy the golf this weekend. The field's loaded. It's going to be really fun. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday to recap Amex. Maybe talk Netflix doc a little bit because I should have seen it by then.
Yes.
And then Tory is next week.
Is it really?
I think so, right. Isn't it? I think Tory's next week. So we got that to preview next Tuesday. I believe it's Tory if memory serves. But that's it, folks. Enjoy the golf. Sick. Enjoy the golf this weekend. And we'll talk to you next week.
Give him hell, Badada Mike.
Give him hell, baby.
See ya.
All right, folks. Now it's time for JT. Really quick chat. It was one of those things where you get each guy for, I think, 5 minutes. So Andy fired some questions at it. It has a kind of an abrupt ending. And that's it. Here's JT. See ya.
JT, I got to be fast here, so I'm going to ask you real quick. What was the toughest thing in Tulsa, winning the PGA Championship or getting out of that CVS on Friday with the self-serve cash register?
Ooh. That was one of the most humbling experiences I've ever had in that CVS. It was like I really just wanted to get in and out of there. And as I said the other day, I don't remember sounding as bad as I actually did. But yeah, that was I would say in terms of relatability, probably the CVS situation, but the PGA was pretty tough too.
Well, that's what's great about this show. The two episodes I've seen is this behind the scenes stuff. This is stuff us fans really love to see, even the small things like going to CVS and struggling with that. But I got to ask you, was there any part of you that hesitated to be a part of this project when it started, or were you all in from the get-go?
A little bit of both. I think as long, after having conversations and sit downs with, you know, different people from the team and communicating, whether it be our concerns or kind of expectations and what they had said back, I think was I didn't really have any worries. And I think that's a big part of it is like, look, we can be as involved or uninvolved as we want. If we want to, you know, give a true viewing or show to how we are and maybe our season or whatever it is, then like we need to have some access. But if we don't care and we give them very minimal, then like you're just not going to be in the show as much. So it's not necessarily, you kind of create your own destiny, if you will, mm-hmm. In terms of how much you give them and how much. So I wasn't too worried about that.
Rory kind of surprised people yesterday when the trailer came out that he was involved in it. Were you happy to see him? I mean, you're close to them. Were you happy to see him? And important, especially after the year you guys have had.
For sure. For sure. I think, he's played and been playing the best golf of anybody in the world. And, you know, it's pretty cool and not often that you get the number one player in the world in any sport that's being covered to take part and give the access like he did. And, you know, I think like all of us, he's no different in terms of just wanting to grow the game of golf and the PGA Tour and just show another side of it that might create a different and bigger audience.
What do you hope comes from this series? I mean, F1 took off after that in the States. You know, obviously this year with LIV and PGA Tour, it's a huge storyline. What do you hope comes from after this is seen by everybody?
I mean, the same thing would be great. I mean, obviously we want to create as many, you know, new fans and people that want to, you know, watch golf, watch the PGA Tour as much as possible. And I think that's the hope and the plan and an ideal scenario, but also just to create some new, I don't know if storylines isn't the right word, but just opportunities of people that are watching at home that whether it not be necessarily getting super involved and wanting to follow the PGA Tour, but maybe it's just, you know, Joel Damon or something. It's like, oh, wow, like he's hilarious. I had no idea he's from near where I am and I had no idea. So like, I'm really going to root for this guy. You know, it's little things like that's how the game of golf grows, and that's, you know, what I think we're all hoping for.
Have you gotten married since? I know you and Jordan were talking about the speech.
Yeah.
Okay, so how did Jordan's speech go? I know you're concerned about it.
His speech was good. He was nice to me. He didn't throw me under the bus too bad. Maybe, you know, the amount of family members, he wanted to keep it tame, and I definitely appreciate that from him.
You made me laugh when he called you in the first episode and said, what should I do? And you said, whatever your instincts tell you, don't do that.
That pretty much sums us up.
I came away from that first episode saying I need more Jordan Spieth in my life. Also, you as well. Like, you two are great together. But Spieth, after watching you guys in the no laying up video, after watching him talk to his ball like every round of his life, I need more Jordan Spieth in my life. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, I'm not the one to determine that. I don't need any more Jordan Spieth in my life. I get plenty of it, but you definitely can.
Was there a real awkward moment for you at all during the shooting, having these guys with you all the time, the camera guys?
No, just because if there was a situation or a time when I didn't want them there or I felt like it was too much, I just would say something and they would move on or go elsewhere. It was never any pushback of like, can we come over? And I'd be like, nah, I'm good. And they're like, come on, like, let us just come over. And I'm just like, no, like, because if that starts happening, then the relationship starts deteriorating, and if that starts, and I don't want to shoot with them, and then next thing you know, they have no content at the end of the year, nothing to really show. And they, I thought, did a great job with that and keeping it organic, keeping it fun, and just letting us do what we want to do.